This is your Concordia, Nebraska All Sports Leader, Koobski, brought to you by the Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Koobie, alongside my partners Eric Cumley, and we got some great news and some bad news over this weekend in Concordia Athletics. We're going to kick it off with football, who had an impressive 34-0 blowout win against Dakota Wesleyan. And to top it off, DJ McGarvey is the GPAC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, look at that. Congratulations. Looks like our offense finally figured things out. You know, the past couple weeks we've only scored 7 points, but that did not happen today. We got Coach Ocean's third shutout with 34-0, so that's great. We haven't had a shutout for 2 years. We didn't have one last year.
The last one was 2019 against Hastings. It was a 44-0 win, but we're going to focus on this one right now. We're going to jump back to DJ McGarvey. He went 14 for 19, threw for 210 yards, had 3 touchdowns, and also ran the ball 10 times for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. So a total of 5 touchdowns by himself. What an incredible performance by the freshman.
Yeah, he had a great game. You know, I really wish he would have gotten one more yard to get to 100. But, you know, the 99 is good, especially with the 2 touchdowns. That definitely makes up for it.
Getting the 210 and 100 yards rushing is like in basketball getting the double-double.
Yeah,
or like a triple-double, because that's very impressive. But, yeah, kudos to him. He was all over the field and in multiple ways.
Yeah, he was. And Jonah Wyan was the lead running back for the Bulldogs this game. He had 18 carries for 76 total yards. He did not have a touchdown, but he had a good game too.
He definitely did. He had a nice 29-yard run to set the Bulldogs up in a great field position that led to a DJ McGarvey passing touchdown. So great all-around offensive performance. And the defense was not to be ignored. They played fantastic football. Lane Napier recorded 8 total tackles. 4 solo, 4 assisted. But Katrin Cox was the definite star of the defense, creating 2 tackles for loss and 1.5 sacks. He also finished with a total of 5 total tackles, but he was flying all over, had a QB hurry as well. He was all over that backfield.
He was all over the backfield. And you know what? It was his birthday as well, so that was a great birthday present to himself with a great game. Just by the whole defense, not just by him.
I could go on and on about all these stats. We got plenty of players who recorded something, but really, it was a great defensive effort. We had 4 total pass breakups. Our corners played tremendous on the pass. We held Dakota Wesleyan to 138 total yards on offense, 49 rushing yards, and 89 passing yards. So our defense definitely dominated throughout this entire game.
Just going back, third down conversions, they had 2 for 17. They only converted 2 third downs, and they were 2 for 6 on fourth downs. So just going back to our defense and our offense being able to actually put up points this game, it's great to see an all-around team win. It really was a team win. Nobody was lacking in a certain area, not even on special teams, really.
No, special teams, we dominated. We had great kickoff coverage, and our punt return, you know, we couldn't really do anything. All we had to do was fair catch it. We did have 1 muff fumble. But other than that, our punt team and kickoff team were tremendous. We only got the opportunity to get the ball, the opening kickoff, for kick return, and they never touched the field again.
Like we were saying, a great all-around team win. And, you know, this fourth quarter stat, in the fourth quarter, we had 10 minutes up to 15 total time of possession. That last fourth quarter drive, we had a 9-minute, 46-second drive for a touchdown at the end. And, you know, when you take 10 minutes out of the fourth quarter, there's no way a team can catch up.
Oh, no, not even close, especially when it was 27-0 at that point.
Yeah.
You know, just a tremendous performance by, as we keep saying, a tremendous performance throughout the entire team. You know, it was just one of those nights that you kind of won't forget.
Concordia's overall record now is 2-3, 2-3 in GPAC as well. Next up, we play Jamestown University at Jamestown.
So that's North Dakota.
In North Dakota. But that drive is 8 hours in a car, and in a bus it's probably gonna be more like 9. So it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. But good news, we leave Friday, so we have enough time to prepare. But Jamestown is definitely should be a good and easy win. They are 2-2 in GPAC, 2-3 overall. They played Doan last week and got destroyed, 44-20. So they're not really that tough of a team. Jamestown, their only wins came from Mount Marty and Hastings, two teams that are dead to last in the GPAC standings. So this should be a good win for us, and should be another dominating one. Moving on to women's soccer, they played two games over the weekend. They played one at home inside Bulldog Stadium against Midland on September 29th. They won that game 1-0, and then they went up to South Dakota and played Dakota Wesleyan and lost on October 2nd, 1-0. We're going to start with the Midland game. It was a good win all around. We had an early goal in the first period and never looked back. Midland only had 6 total shots, 5 on goal, and Concordia had 9 shots, 3 of them on goal, and one of them got in.
Yeah, as you said, that first shot was scored by Cheyenne Smith in the 44th minute. That was unassisted, so that was a great goal by her. But Madeline Hugh led the way for the Bulldogs with 4 total shots. She only had 1 on goal. But, you know, that's really good. You're getting the ball near the goalkeeper, keeping her on her toes.
Exactly. And you couldn't really do any more than that.
Kaylee Ward got the start in goal. She had 5 saves. Didn't allow a goal, as you could see with the win. So that's great for her.
Yeah.
She's really stepped it up this year, especially not starting last year. And so she's having a great season so far. She's had quite a bit of shutouts, it seems like.
All around great team win, as that seems to be the theme. You know, we got a football great team win. We got soccer having a great team win, both on the offensive side and defense. So this is one of those great situations where you will feel proud after this win.
Yeah, but then going over to Dakota Wesleyan, not the same result, but we led Dakota Wesleyan in shots. We had 16 shots, 10 of them on goal, and they only had 10 shots with 7 of them on goal. So our offense was there. We just couldn't find the back of the net for a score.
No, and Dakota Wesleyan, it was basically a Midland-type game. Dakota Wesleyan got on us early with their only goal in the first period, and they just didn't look back. And that's kind of it's one of those things that it's hard to process, really. You have a great game the few days before, and you come here hoping to have that same outcome. Unfortunately, the table's flipped.
Yeah, the table was flipped. I mean, Dakota Westland's goalie had a great game. She had 10 saves herself. Our goalkeeper, Kaylee Ward, had 6 saves, so she had a really good game as well. It's just we could not finish, and we were right there multiple times.
We definitely were. As we mentioned, our offense had 10 shots on goal. You would think one of them would sneak in, or at least 2 out of that many shots. I got to give credits to Dakota Wesleyan's goalie, Hannah Treble, with those 10 saves. She was tremendous. But it just looks like our defense wasn't fully there. You know, our offense was definitely on point, as we mentioned before. Our defense kind of let the ball slip.
Yeah, we let it slip 1 too many times, and the ball just snuck in there. But Concordia's overall record now is 5-3-2, 2-1-2 in GPAC. So they're still positive. That's good. But
yeah,
their next game will be against Morningside College. It's a home game on October 6th at 5:30 p.m. So definitely show up and shout out to that game. Then after that game, they also go to Jamestown, just like the football team. That's going to be a long drive for them on October 9th. That game is set for 4 p.m.
Yeah, hopefully we can get 2 wins in a row. Morningside is going to be a tough opponent, as they're sitting 6-2-1 overall, 3-1-1 in GPAC. So that's going to be a good, tough matchup. Hopefully our women are ready for it. And Jamestown is on a roll in soccer. They are 10-0 overall, 5-0 in GPAC. somehow sitting second in the GPAC standings. Briarcliff is ahead of them, sitting 7-0 in GPAC and 9-1 overall. But two really tough matchups back to back. This is the meat of their schedule. If they can pull off an incredible two-game win streak, they could be sitting in, either in received votes or in the top 25.
They definitely could. I mean, both of these teams have had a lot of very dominating wins, and it shows with their records. So if we can go out there and pull a couple upsets, we'll be all right.
We're going to slide on over to the men's side. The men had a heartbreaking loss to Midland on September 29th. It was a 1-0 loss inside Bulldog Stadium. Then they went up to Mitchell, South Dakota, and basically took their frustration out on Dakota Wesleyan and beat them 5-1. Talk about a sound win. We're going to start with the Midland game. Midland, it was 0-0 and neck throughout the entire game till the 56th minute when Midland scored their goal. But I tell you, it was feisty. It was scrappy. It was basically an American football game on a soccer field.
With a soccer ball.
With the soccer ball. Like, this was crazy. We had three yellow cards, one red card off the bat. Midland's Thomas Pereira got ejected with a red card in the 56th minute. We had two Concordia players get yellow cards, and an additional Midland player got a yellow card. I listened to the game, and honestly, there could have been at least eight more yellow or red cards thrown. Like, this was that type of game.
Yeah, this was a very feisty game. I mean, it shows it with that 1-0 loss right there. And that goal, they came out in the second half, scored real quick, and we just couldn't get back on top.
Even with our 13 shots, five of them on goal, we could not get a single one of them in. Midland only had eight shots, four of them on goal, and one of them snuck in. This was one of those situations where this could be a rivalry in the near future.
It really could. I mean, we're right next to Midland, not a far drive. So it could be a rivalry, and if it becomes one, that'd be fun. Gabriel Mendoza got the start for goalkeeper. He got his third start now, and this is also the third goalie that we've had this year. He had three saves. He only allowed that one goal. Again, the third goalkeeper this year for the Bulldogs.
Either we have a really good depth on goalie, or something's not adding up, because Federico Andrea Simonetti was outstanding last season, and you would think he'd continue to start for the Bulldogs, but yet we have this scenario where we're rotating every other game with our three different goalies.
Yeah, and you know, just going over to the Dak West game now, Federico Andrea Simonetti got the start at goalkeeper. He didn't play the whole game. Callum Goldsmith came in with about 7 minutes left in the game, a little bit more, but we're rotating our goalkeepers, and you know, I haven't really seen this too often in soccer.
Neither have I, really. I mean, looking at the history of Concordia, we've had some really good goalies back there who've started at most 4 years. You know, we had one goalie who started since his freshman year. And then last year, you got freshman Federico Simonetti starting, and you'd think he'd be a four-year starter, and here we go. It's his sophomore year, and now he's in a rotation. It just baffles me. I have no idea what the scenario is or why we're doing it.
I don't know either. I mean, Federico, he allowed one goal in this 5-1 win, but he also had one save.
Yeah, our defense was phenomenal in helping him out. Even our backup didn't really have to do much. He had zero saves and zero goals allowed. You know, I mean, this was a scenario where our offense came and dominated. They had 23 total shots, 12 of them on goal, and five total goals.
Dak West only had four shots and two of them on goal. So our offense just kept the ball the whole time, and our defense, whenever they did get an opportunity to almost score, they really held it down.
They definitely did. I mean, as a goalie, you cannot ask any more from your defense to play as well as they did, because you only had, you know, two opportunities, really, to make a play. You know, you got the one save, obviously the one that pittered in the last, you know, 7 minutes of the game. But other than that, we had an outstanding performance.
Our first goal was a penalty kick in the 7th minute, just at the start of the game, by Yassine Bessaie. He also had 2 assists. He had a great game.
He definitely did, an outstanding performance from him. Hopefully we can, you know, continue that here in the near future, as we will play Morningside on October 6th inside Bulldog Stadium. That'll start at 8 p.m. Then they will head to Jamestown once again. That is 3 teams headed to Jamestown. That's going to be something right there. On October 9th, that'll start at 6:30 p.m. at Jamestown, North Dakota.
The men's overall record is 5-5-1, 3-2 in GPAC.
These are two, you know, also tough games. Morningside is sitting at received votes in the rankings, and they are at 6-4 overall, 3-2 in GPAC. Obviously, we are 5-5-1 and 3-2 in GPAC. And Jamestown's sitting middle of the pack in GPAC. You know, I mean, they're 3-4-2 and 2-2-1 in GPAC. So you're talking about a really competitive and great game to start. And then Jamestown, hopefully we can sneak out that win in a dominant fashion. We're going to head over to the indoor sports as we are going to talk about volleyball. They had a very disappointing loss that they should have won. They had a disappointing loss against Midland, 3-2. It was one of those games where it could have been either way.
It was such a close game. We should have won that game in the 5th and final set. We were winning, I believe, 11 or 12 to 7. And we should have won that game. We just couldn't score it out. Midland went on a 5-point run. We called a timeout, and it just wasn't enough. And Midland won 15-13 in that last set.
But take you to how close all these were. We won the first set 25-19. Midland took the second and third. The second they won 25-14, and then the third they won 25-19. And then the fourth we ended up dominating, winning 25-13. So this is two teams that are really battling back and forth, wanting to get that win, and Midland snuck it out.
They really did, and Midland is ranked third in the nation, so it was a really close game for us to be right there neck and neck with the third ranked team in the nation.
I mean, this is one of the disadvantages of being in the GPAC. Like, we started the season ranked 6th. Because we are playing top 10, top 25 teams every single week, we are now sitting 23rd in the rankings at 9-7 and 4-4 in GPAC. Like, this is the downside to playing in the best conference in NAIA.
Oh, yes, definitely. And 8 of the 12 teams in the GPAC have either received votes or are in the top 25.
Right. Like, this is a conference that has dominated volleyball and all sports, really, throughout its history. And it's tough. I mean, the bright side is when you have wins against a GPAC team, it bumps you up in the rankings and it feels really good. And you're like, this is a tough conference. We're going to be, you know, top 10 if we keep winning. And then we have the downside, as we see here, where you're playing top 10, top 25 teams, and you just can't pull it out, and it drops you.
And just going back to this Midland game, we played so much better than we did the first time. The first time, Midland swept us 3-0, and this last time, we just barely couldn't finish it out. We need to win these games to show that we're not a 23-ranked team. We are a top 10, if not top 5, ranked team.
Right. I mean, we've been proving it week in and week out in the mid portions. Like, we've had some great winning streaks. We had a 5-game winning streak at one point, and now we're sitting at a 2-game losing streak. But hopefully we can bounce back and get some really critical wins in really the last half of the season. If we can't get anything going, we're going to miss the playoffs. Like, this is the critical point of the season. You have a handful of games left, and you're sitting 23rd. If you are sitting 25 or below when it comes to playoff time, we're not going to make it.
Our next game is against Doane University on October 6th at 7:30 p.m. That's in Crete, Nebraska. And again, that's another hard game. Doane has received votes for the top 25. They are not quite in it yet. But again, they're right there. And then then they come home to face Dort University on October 9th at 3 p.m. And yet again, Dort is ranked 18th.
Which, honestly, that kind of ticks me off. Dort is 10-5 overall. I get their record, but they're 2-4 in GPAC. I don't believe that they should be higher up than us. When and Doan, they've improved over the season. They were not very good last year, and this year they're sitting 16-5, 4-4 in GPAC. And we played them already this season at home, and we beat them 3-1, and it was dominant. We should not have lost that one set, but hopefully we can go back against our rivals and beat them once again and show everybody that, you know, Concordia volleyball is still here.
Lastly, but certainly not least, men's cross country and women's cross country both ran at the Briarcliff Invitational at the Adams Nature Preserve in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Men's took second and women's took fourth. It's a great race for everyone. Last time we were up, not at the Briarcliff, but it was at the same place, we won. Both men's and women's won, so we couldn't get the win out there, but you know, second and fourth isn't bad.
No, it's not. And you're just basically being consistent. You're in the top five every week, it feels like. I mean, our women's was ranked top 25 in the last poll, and we were ranked 15. Going from unranked to 15, I say that's very impressive. And we won't find out the next polls until October 7th. But right now, women's are in the top 15 scenario, and our men's keep proving themselves, and I think they're going to hit the top 25 in the next ranking.
I think they can too. I mean, after this taking second and then first 2 weeks ago, they definitely should be at least receiving votes for the top 25.
If not in the top 25, yes, receiving votes. I agree. These are two teams that, you know, consistently show that they can compete at a high level every week.
Their next race will be the Mount Marty University Invite on October 23rd. That race is set for 10:30 a.m. in Yankton, South Dakota.
And that's all the time we have for you today. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you email us if you have any thoughts, questions, or comments at cunekubski@gmail.com. Again, that is cunekubski at gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at cunekubski and Twitter
at kubski.
Tune in next week. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Bye.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance.